Hit it. Welcome to the Barrel Rollers Podcast for the 15th week of Ordinary Time in our Lord's year 2009. Episode 16, Everyone Get on a Steamboat, Unless You Have a Mac. I'm Nick.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Dave back again.
Yes, Dave is here. I guess he got the permission to introduce himself, but that's okay. Dave's back, and how you been, Dave?
Oh, I've been dandy. I've been, you know, gaming, working, all that good summer stuff.
Cool. Anything in particular you've been working on lately?
What, working on? Well, I've been working at my work.
Ah, that's a good place to work.
Yeah.
I meant for you to talk about the blog that you're helping me do, but...
Oh yeah, that. Forgot about that.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, me and Dave and a couple other people started a blog called college-gamers.blogspot.com. And it's basically all of us just talking about video games in general. I mean, Dave, you posted a Mad World review last week.
Yeah, the Mad World review. I wasn't too high on that game. I mean, it's really fun for a little while, and then it kind of dies out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's understandable.
Huh?
That's understandable.
Yeah, it's pretty much what everyone says.
Yeah. It's your typical hack and slash.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's not too many of those on the Wii, but it's just like...
Yeah.
Sickening.
Okay, and before we go any further, I know...
We need a good minigame collection. I haven't seen any of those on the Wii.
What, like WarioWare?
Like every other Wii game made.
Oh, yeah, that...
Don't forget about carnival games.
Yeah, right. All right.
Okay, hold on. Before we go any further, this is for the week of July 12th. It is the 15th week of Ordinary Time. You can thank Nick and Dave for bringing religion into it. And the reason for our title today is because LucasArts is now on Steam. Now, for those of you who don't know, Steam is probably the biggest online or the biggest PC basically portal for downloading games. It's very easy. It's very simple. It's legit. And there are extremely low piracy rates, which makes video game companies it basically entices video game companies to go to them. And now with LucasArts on there, I can't think of one big company that's not on here. I mean, you can actually go on their website, steampowered.com, and on the left side, it has the publishers. You can sort their game list by publisher. And let me just read down some of these names. It's ridiculous. You got 2K Games, Activision, Bethesda, Capcom, Eidos, Electronic Arts, Epic Games, id Software, LucasArts, PopCap Games, Sega, Sony. I mean, THQ, Ubisoft, and then the creators of Steam, Valve. I mean, with all of these options, I honestly don't see... Well, I mean, obviously the reason to pirate it would be to get it for free, but I mean... It just doesn't seem like a good option nowadays with the amount of content that is on this system.
Yeah, especially since they have all those sales and everything. It's a great way to go for PC gamers.
No, exactly. And the one thing that Steam does that a lot of other places, I don't think any other place does, is the fact that you have your game library stored online. So if you get a new computer, you don't have to transfer all the data over on flash drive or DVDs. You can actually just re-download the game as many times as you want. And just the way it works is that if the game is activated under your account, then you can play it. But if like say on my account, I don't have Call of Duty 5 on there. But if someone had come on my computer and installed Call of Duty 5, it would come up and say it's pre-installed, but you can't play it because it's not activated under your account. I mean, it's just a very smart way of handling downloaded games.
Oh yeah, and it keeps the piracy rate low.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing that Steam does do that's very nice is the fact that just about every other week they will have a deal of the weekend, sometimes every weekend, and then depending on holidays and stuff like that, you can get games as low as 50% off. I mean, around Christmas time, it was ridiculous. I got BioShock for $5. It was 75% off. I mean, around Christmas time, I spent $65 and got like 7 games. And then there was one time in March where they had an entire week of Ubisoft games on sale. I spent another $65 there. I mean, just the way they handle themselves and the way they conduct business, it's insane. And I know they've conducted studies in which they would drop the price for like Left 4 Dead is a great example. They drop the price by half one weekend to make it like it'd be like $25 instead of 50. They drop it half, but they found out that they sell 4 times the amount. So they actually gain twice as much money as they would have if they just sold it at the regular price. So, I mean, they definitely have a great business model.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a good idea. I mean, if I didn't have a Mac, I would be doing a lot of business with Steam. No doubt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel bad for you because of that. Also, with the fact that you can actually download games very cheaply, it also brings us into the fact that in the recession, used games have been really, really high, especially this year. And I mean, along with that is also online gaming. But let's get to used games first. Used games have been at an all-time high. And the reason why is because you can buy a used game for like $10 or $15. And depending on how old the game is or how good the game is, you can get some pretty, pretty decent games. I mean, they're talking right here, Final Fantasy X you can get for $15.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it'll...
That's a classic right there. I mean, I think it's pretty much a nostalgic factor of people wanting to get games that came out before, great games for cheap prices.
Right, exactly. And it's one of the reasons why used game sales are up is because you can get great games for cheap. And it's another reason why I would suspect that downloaded games on like the Xbox Live Marketplace or the WiiWare or the PSN Network are doing really good is because you can get classic games for cheap. And I think to say it's selling you nostalgia is different because, yeah, it is selling you nostalgia, but the fact that you can replay those games when you're older, I mean, I know when I play games that I used to play back when I was like 5, I actually enjoy them more now because I understand what the hell they're saying.
Well, the nice thing about used games too, well, like you said, they're nice and cheap. So like, I mean, like they don't have to be necessarily old games to be used games.
Right.
I mean, you can get a lot of games that came out like under a year ago, used for like a good
30,
chunk
$40.
Off the price. Yeah. Like, I mean,
like half.
Instead of paying $50, you pay like $30.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a good way to get games that like you didn't get like exactly when they first came out, but like are kind of interested in looking at now.
Yeah. And also with the used games, it's also been noted that game rentals have been up too, which is another thing to say because you can spend like $5-$8 at Blockbuster and get a game for like 5 days. And I mean, depending on how long you play it, you could beat it, you can't, but at least you didn't have to make a $50 commitment.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
Yeah, I think used games are great because you don't have to actually buy the games. And like I said in my blog post about Mad World, that's not a game that's really worth buying. It's worth renting because it has not a lot of gameplay in it. There's only, about 6 hours. You can definitely beat that game in the time you rent it.
Yeah, and I think it's also notable that game places like Gamefly are also becoming a lot more used nowadays because you can rent a lot more games. You can also rent DS and PSP games. And it's the same concept as Netflix. You go online, you get a queue, you rent a game. It gets sent to you, you send it back. I'm pretty sure it's not as fast as Netflix because they're a lot smaller company. But, I mean, you probably get your game like within 3 days after – maybe 3 or 4 days after sending an old one in, which I think is definitely a nice way to – not only get new games, but to try out a lot of games you probably wouldn't have tried before.
Yeah, and there's a site that I use called GooseX. You send your game to other people, and you get points, and you get to pick the games you want, and they get sent to you. It's a pretty cool system.
It's kind of like used game rentals.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I never heard of that before.
I mean, you get to own them.
Oh, you get to own them. Oh, that's more interesting. It's like game swapping, basically.
Yep, pretty much.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, also in the recession, online gaming is up, which is more interesting because it's very it's a nice correlation of online gaming to console revenue. So basically, online gaming is up 22% and console purchases are down 23%, which means people are going what it most likely means people are going to the PCs to play online games, which I think is interesting to say that with the amount of money that's spent into these game consoles, their internet infrastructure just isn't as solid as the PC.
Well, here's the nice thing about online games. The thing with online games is that online games tend to last a lot longer than games that aren't online.
Yeah.
You know, like online games usually feature like an extensive multiplayer that allows you to play like over the internet with a bunch of different other people, and you have to work on like trying to up your score, upgrade your character, like all that kind of stuff. Whereas games that aren't online, games like Nintendo, like a lot of Nintendo games like Zelda and Mario are awesome games while they last, but like they don't last nearly as long.
Right.
So like I think that people are realizing that if they get these big online games, they won't be buying as many games to try to, pass that much time.
Well,
Right,
another
right.
thing is that people already have computers, so all they have to do is get the games.
Yeah, that's another thing too. I mean, seriously, who has a console that doesn't own a computer? I mean,
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of games require that you upgrade whatever computer you have, or you need to buy a somewhat high-end computer to play a lot of games.
not necessarily. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I like Valve games is because their engine is extremely nice, even when you're using a very low-end computer. I mean, I use my parents' Dell that's 5 years old, and I can play Half-Life 2 and Counter-Strike on just about full res with about 30 to 40 frames per second.
Yeah, and some of the games in this article are from Yahoo Games.
Yeah,
So,
that's another thing is a lot of them are like online flash games, which I think is even more amazing. You can go to mini what was it Miniclip, addictinggames.com, Yahoo Games. I mean, I think that's even more amazing is that from what this is saying, people are ditching consoles to play flash games.
there are a lot of awesome Flash games out there. I'm
There
not
are there.
denying
Yeah,
that.
no doubt.
So,
Yeah, definitely.
we should do an episode on Flash games sometime.
That would be interesting. Best our favorite Flash
My
games over the
favorite.
web.
Yeah, exactly. I
That'd be
think it'd
pretty
be
cool.
fun.
Yeah, we should definitely do an episode on that. That'd be pretty cool. But one console that people might not be going away from is the PSP 2. The PSP 2 has been rumored to be in development. It's basically likely it's in development. But it's also rumored to have the same amount of power as the original Xbox. What?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, the first PSP was just a slightly underpowered PSP, sorry, PlayStation 2 or thereabout. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if an upgrade to the game's graphics makes it a probably slightly underpowered Xbox.
No, this doesn't say it's slightly underpowered. It's going to be as powerful as the original
I
Xbox.
don't know.
With
It's
the
not.
size
Like, it doesn't seem like that big of a leap to me, though. Like,
with the
I mean,
size
it's the same generation of consoles.
with the size of the original Xbox and the amount of like overheating that thing had and the amount of cooling, just the way that thing operates, I mean, it's going to be amazing for them, this thing not to explode in your hands after
But
5 minutes.
what I'm saying is, think about it. The original PSP has been out for like 5 years or so now. With technological upgrades and stuff like that, I'm sure it's not that big of a deal to be able to put an Xbox qual like Xbox quality graphics in the palm of your hand.
Well, see,
Yeah, but
that's the thing. Go,
if you're
Dave.
gonna do that, are people really gonna invest in a handheld system like that?
No, see, that's the other thing we brought up is that if you're gonna create basically an Xbox that's probably 1/20th of the size, that's gonna cost a lot. And back to your point, Nick, just because it has Xbox quality graphics doesn't mean it's as powerful as an Xbox. All you need is a very nice GPU to do that. This thing is probably gonna is rumored to have the same amount of RAM and processing power, and that's just, I think, a little too much to put in something this small.
I don't know, because like I said, the Xbox was like what, 2001? I mean,
Yeah.
there's a lot of new technology out there in the past, like, I don't know, what is it, like 8 years or so, that can probably do a pretty good job of making it pretty close to that and a lot smaller.
Yeah, the original Xbox came out in 2001.
Yeah, it was launched within like a month or so of the GameCube.
Yeah. I don't think there's any other more specs on. Oh, here it is. It had 60. Holy crap! 64 megabytes of SD RAM. Wow, you actually might be right. Oh no, you know what? Their CPU. I don't think they can do it because that CPU is a. That CPU is pretty high end for something that small. So, CPU might be lacking a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I guess we'll see. It's only a rumor right now, so.
yeah, definitely we'll have to wait. But along with Sony news is that Sony is not afraid of Activision, and you know, we talked about this. We talked about this a couple weeks ago about how Activision threatened Sony, and we said that if Sony did not if Sony didn't comply with Activision's demands that they were going to be basically in the shitter. And what Sony came back and said actually makes me think the exact opposite. And they said, we're thinking in the long term, not the short term. The console's only been out for 3 years, so give it time. And he also said that the CEO of Activision likes to hear himself talk, which I think is an interesting point.
It just I don't really think this is the best move by Sony because it seems like they're just antagonizing Activision, and I think that's definitely something for them to be scared of because losing franchises like Call of Duty, Tony Hawk, and Guitar Hero are major killers to them because people are going to be like, well, I can just get I mean, PS3, I mean, it has a decent library of games, but nothing like the 360 or the Wii yet. And I mean, people are just going to be like, well, I can just get all these great third-party games on a Xbox 360. I mean, I can just get all these Activision games on an Xbox 360 or a Wii, plus their own huge library of games. So I think Sony better watch it.
Yeah, because Activision is a huge company. They
Yeah.
make tons of games. It's not
Yeah,
something to joke around about.
we talked about last week that after they merged with Blizzard, they were the biggest gaming company, or publisher in the world.
Yeah.
Which, seriously, you take Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero and merge that with Diablo, StarCraft, and WoW. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
That's
what?
pretty big.
But I do gotta say though, I actually heard an interesting point in that Sony's actually, making a big point on creating new IPs for the PS3, and they've definitely done that with games like Heavy Rain and LittleBigPlanet. And I don't think this is going to hurt them as much as we think it is. Not to mention the fact that the PS3 is rumored to have a price cut later this year, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sony knows what they're doing at least.
Yeah. I think Sony is definitely thinking in the long term. I just hope it's not they're thinking 20 years in the long term.
Yeah, because they could go bankrupt before then.
Well, Sony's not going to go bankrupt, but they could definitely lose a lot more money than they're thinking.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh yes. Let's go now to the amount of iPhone games. It's speculated that there are about 13,000 games on the iPhone, a lot of which are under $5, even more of which are free. Now, Dave, you have the 3.0 software, right? You play games on your iPod?
I just downloaded a few the other day. I haven't played it in a while.
Okay. So for those who don't know, the iPod Touch and the iPhone use the same software and everything. So they're allowed to get the same amount, just basically the same amount of games. And what's even more interesting is that in March there were only about 6,000 games, and now there's over 13,000. Like, holy crap. I mean,
Well, I
there's
mean,
a lot.
everyone can
What?
be a developer, right?
Well, it costs $100 to $100 a year to have your app on the App Store.
Yeah, so I mean, I think people are just trying it out because I mean, it's fairly low risk.
Right, exactly. That's the point. It's fairly low risk. I mean, people You know, people have started to understand that $1, $2 games are a risk that's worth taking, because I mean, it's $1 or $2. And the fact that it's intertwined into the iTunes store, let alone it's the same model people used to buy music. I mean, it's perfect for creating games and buying games. And I think that Apple didn't realize there was going to be that they were going to be in competition with the DS as far along as they are.
No, I mean, you can tell when they released the iPod Touch and the iPhone, they didn't really design it as a gaming device. There was nothing to support, like added on apps and stuff like that. I mean, it's only really with the 2.0 operating system that it's become that big of a thing. And I mean,
Right.
I think it's a great move by Apple. They pretty much have an all-in-one handheld in your pocket, especially with the iPhone. You got your cell phone, you got your game system, you got
Music,
music, everything.
video,
And
internet.
everyone loves iPods, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, is that everyone knows what an iPod is.
Well, if you told me this about iPods like 3, 4 years ago, how they would become huge gaming systems, like I don't know. I don't think I would have been able to take it too seriously, seeing that the last iPod, like the classic iPod video, was
It
just
had Zuma and Guitar Hero.
yeah, I mean it was more like playing flash games, but now you're
Right.
getting like legit publishers publishing games on the iPhone. I
Yeah.
think Nintendo especially better watch out. Even though they do have a pretty good market with the DS still.
Yeah, in Japan.
Yeah.
What's even more interesting is, as you said, you couldn't, you, no one could create games for the App Store, or for the iPhone until about a year ago when 2.0 software came out, which means they have 13,000 apps in a 13,000 games in a year. Holy crap!
Yeah, that's a lot. And I mean, this number is just going to keep growing,
No,
so
exactly. And
it's
what's
just
gonna,
becoming more and more popular.
right? And what I think is interesting is the fact that you can actually give away your games for free on the App Store. And there's very few, I don't think you can do that on any of the three systems.
No, definitely not. And it's a good thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. And then what's even more impressive is that with the latest iPhone 3GS, for those of you who don't know, the S stands for speed, and that's exactly what they did. They increased the CPU, the RAM, and I think there actually might be a graphics processor in there, making, I'm pretty sure it's actually rumored that the iPhone 3GS is more powerful than the DS.
Wow. I also think the comment system is good because you can see which apps are good and which ones are bad.
No, exactly. Not to mention, you can go on, there's a bunch of websites that will specifically tell you what apps are good and bad. But yeah, the fact that you can have the same comment system as iTunes definitely helps. But I'm not okay, so we covered Sony's new console, the PSP2, and now we're going to cover Rock Band's console. Kotaku is reporting that Harmonix is thinking of making a Rock Band specific console. I love the article here. One console future, no console future. Rock Band developer Harmonix looks into crystal disco balls and sees a future in which music games could abandon consoles altogether. You know.
Okay, so like here's my thing with this. There are already plug and play games like this out on the market. Guitar Hero rip-offs and stuff like that, where like the entire game takes place inside the controller. I get that, but what I'm saying is a game like Rock Band, for instance, you have all these peripherals and everything. You can't possibly plug them all into your TV. I guess the only thing that you could do is like somehow like daisy chain them together and just have one plug into your TV. I don't really understand how that would work.
Well, I guess you could just have like a tiny box similar to how OnLive is going to work and just have everything Bluetooth to it.
Yeah, I suppose you could.
But
I don't.
I think the problem is DLC. I mean, are they really going to set up their own internet infrastructure and then have their own DLC being downloaded onto these small devices? I don't think so. I think consoles are the way to go if you want good internet and DLC.
Yeah,
Here's the thing.
And Guitar Hero will be releasing a system every year.
Yeah.
Here's my biggest problem with this, though. Do you think that people will buy this? Like, do you think people are going to buy a whole nother system just to play their music games on?
No, that's exactly what Dave just said, is the fact that Guitar Hero comes out with a new system every year. I mean, are they really going to create an entire new quote-unquote console every single year just to support new games and new software and new peripherals? I mean, I think it's
yeah.
I think Dave is with me on this. I call bullshit.
Yeah, I don't see it happening anytime soon. I mean, they're becoming popular. Like, music games are definitely huge right now, but I think they're definitely on the decline of popularity. So unless they do something huge and new, I don't see people running out to buy systems just to play Rock Band on.
No, exactly. And like Dave said, the fact that they come out with new instruments and new software every year. I mean, I heard someone say a couple months ago that what we used to know as a toy room when we were kids, when we have our kids, it's going to be a peripheral room. It's just going to be filled with all these peripherals that we don't know what the hell to do with.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just a little ridiculous. Moving on, Travis Touchdown could possibly be in the next Super Smash Brothers. For those of you who don't know, Travis Touchdown is the hero in No More Heroes, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically a hack and slash with lightsabers for the Wii, I might add. It's probably one of – it's probably the best – no, I can't say the best because Resident Evil. Probably second or third best game on the Wii, not to mention it's M-rated.
Yeah, it's miles ahead of Mad World. Let me just say that.
Really? You think so?
I think so.
Okay. I'm glad I have No More Heroes and not Mad World then.
I think it has a sense of humor about itself, which Mad World doesn't have. It's just like, hey,
right.
Look at me. I'm killing all these guys.
Right.
A couple of years ago, I would have thought you were nuts saying that Travis Touchdown would be in Smash Brothers. But then I think to Brawl had Snake from Metal Gear Solid. And
right.
And I think that's not – like, too far beyond the realm of possibility.
Right.
But then again, if the question remains, though, is Travis Touchdown still going to be as popular when the next Smash Brothers comes out? Because the people that develop Smash Brothers have stated that they're not planning to make a new Smash Brothers for a long time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they said that they put everything that they wanted to in Brawl and that they're not necessarily planning on making a new Smash Brothers for quite a while now. So if, I don't know, like 5, 6, 7 years down the line when the new Smash Brothers finally does come out, is Travis Touchdown still going to be as popular of a character?
You know what? I could say the same thing about Kid Icarus and Ness and Kid Lucas. I mean, those are all people that only appeared on the original Nintendo Entertainment System and somehow managed to be in the Super Smash Brothers, the original, or this one.
True,
so, I mean,
But do you think Travis Touchdown is as popular as Kid Icarus?
Dude, I didn't even know who the hell Kid Icarus was until I played Super Smash Brothers.
But in the 80s, everybody knew who Kid Icarus was.
They could just bring him back.
It's
going to be on the next console because they have one Smash Bros. Per console.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that Kid Icarus came out with one game, and there's already another No More Heroes in the works. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously Travis Touchdown already has a leg up over Kid Icarus.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Because, like, Travis Touchdown, No More Heroes is one of those games that's geared directly towards M-rated gamers. Gamers that play M-rated games. It's not very family-friendly. So, like, Travis Touchdown, it seems to be a character that's only going to be popular among that audience. I don't know. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility. All I'm saying is that he's not like a major Nintendo character.
You think Smash Brothers is family friendly? It's rated teen.
Yeah, but it's not rated M, which teen pretty much opens the gate a lot more than M-rated games. I mean, games like No More Heroes have swearing and blood and sexually explicit things in it. Smash Brothers, you can't find anything of that with it. Smash Brothers isn't any more violent than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I would say this though, if anyone knew the hack to do it, you could actually see Samus naked in the original Super Smash Brothers. So that definitely takes
Oh,
sexuality out of it.
yeah, I
For
remember
those
that.
of you who don't know, use Pikachu and shock her, and if you hit the pause button at the right time, you will see her naked.
Wow, no comment.
You've never tried that?
No, I never even knew about that.
Oh, and then there's the thing in Melee, in Super Smash Bros. Melee, where if you use Peach and you do the high kick, you can actually angle it to see up her dress.
That's pathetic.
So if you think that because sexuality makes Travis Touchdown out of Smash Bros., you are sadly wrong.
No, I didn't say that. All I'm saying is that I didn't say, that's not what I said. All I said was that I don't know if he's popular enough to warrant being in Smash Brothers because he's in only M-rated games.
I think that's a fair point, but
Yeah.
I
He's
mean,
popular amongst us.
yeah. I mean, it's definitely possible though. It wouldn't surprise me even in the least to see him in a new Smash Brothers game. And he is a Nintendo exclusive character, so
Oh, that might not be changing for long, though.
I don't know. Well, the guy who does
No more
No
heroes.
More Heroes, Sudo 51, is pretty committed to Nintendo systems.
Yeah, but he's been eyeing the Natal.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see, but like he's made quite a few games for Nintendo's console and nothing really for the other systems. He had
Yeah.
a yeah, he made Killer 7 on the GameCube and a few other things, but
Yeah.
nothing that's really out of Nintendo.
Okay.
But we shall
Yeah.
see.
Yeah, we shall see. Next story, not big, but Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I think the only thing to report is the fact that it will actually be retaining the Call of Duty prefix. So,
All
you know.
right, now it makes somewhat chronological sense.
I still think it would have been better to get rid of Call of Duty altogether and just call it Modern Warfare.
Well, yeah, but all right. Well, I really don't want to get into an argument about titles, but the first Modern Warfare was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yes, and we had that
And
argument
I
a couple days ago.
really think that World at War should have been Call of Duty 5 World at War, and then Call of Duty, then this new one should have been Call of Duty 6 Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't make sense to someone who doesn't know what Call of Duty is. You're saying, oh, they went from World War II to modern day warfare, and they went back to World War II and modern day
Yeah, but
warfare.
Modern Warfare is like a sub, it's like a subtitle underneath the main title, which is Call of Duty.
You know,
I think we can.
I think they should get rid of their old numbering system altogether, and they should stick with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1 and 2. And then if Call of Duty quote unquote 7 comes out, it should be Call of Duty World at War 2. And I think they should go on from that instead of having Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 5 World at War, Call of Duty 6 Modern Warfare 2. I mean, the numbering system's going to get really annoying to people who don't understand how it works.
Yeah,
Especially if they're going back and forth between
I
the
mean,
two.
it's the same thing that the angry video game nerd said about the Final Fantasy series.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that either they should say, okay, we're going to make it one straight linear series, or we're going to make it two series. And now Modern Warfare will just have Modern Warfare 2 or Modern Warfare 3 or a number after Modern Warfare. And then the other series will be the World War II series, and they could call it something else, but
See, that's why I wish they didn't put Call of Duty here, because then they could have one series called Modern Warfare, and they could have another one called Call of Duty World at War. And they
here's what I think. I think they screwed up when they named Call of Duty 4 Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
No,
They
you know
should have
who's
just
screwed?
called it Call of Duty Modern Warfare and called the next Call of Duty Call of Duty 4. That
No,
would have made much more sense.
you know who screwed up? EA screwed up when they hired someone else to create Call of Duty 3, because the original creators of the Call of Duty series, Infinity Ward, were in the process of making Call of Duty 3, which is today Modern Warfare, and basically EA went and hired Treyarch Studios to create Call of Duty 3.
I don't know. Whatever. I just
EA screwed up.
we're debating about something retarded here, so let's just keep going.
Wait, isn't that what we always do?
True. Yeah.
Okay, this next one is such a stupid article. It's basically Nintendo saying that the public doesn't understand the Wii Vitality Sensor. And let me just read this quote because this is so stupid. We probably had a similar conversation when we first showed Nintendo's DS. How is it going to work? Why a touch screen? Voice activation? I don't get it. We probably had the same conversation about the Wii Remote. What? How is it going to work? How is it going to work with the games I want to play? I don't get it. Now I hear the same thing with the Wii Vitality Sensor, and all I can tell you is that the game developers we have will bring forth an experience that says, "Wow, I get it." I still don't
I
get
just,
it.
My problem is I just can't think of a practical use for it.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe just with the Wii Balance Board, but it's just
like I don't know. Like, I mean, the only really practical thing I can think of. It's like in a Wii Fit game where it can tell you your heart rate. That's like – that's the only – and like nobody cares about Wii Fit. I'm sorry, Nintendo. Well, I mean it is one of their biggest selling games, but I don't care about Wii Fit.
I mean it's interesting. I try.
I just have to say one of the comments under this says, I'll buy a Wii HD before I spend money on more peripherals. And I think that's such a great comment to Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't know. That Vitality Sensor – I don't know.
Well, here's the thing is that
I just can't think of like anything like really like special that could do for gaming. Like, are you going to control your character depending on your heart rate?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing that I think about it is you have the Wii Balance Board. You stand on it. You have the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck. You hold those. Those are in your hands. Those are used to control the game. Then you have the Wii Vitality Sensor. Are you telling me you're going to – and the Wii Vitality Sensor, I assume, is going to be plugged into the Wii Remote. Are you telling me that to use the Wii Vitality Sensor, you're going to have to be standing on the balance board, holding a Wii Remote in one hand and the Vitality Sensor on your finger in another, or that you have to hold the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck with the Vitality Sensor on one of your fingers? It just seems too cluttered. And the fact also is this thing looks pretty freaking heavy. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense unless your hand's going to be steady the entire time on a table. It just
know.
Seems like
well,
it's going to fall off.
All I can see Nintendo being is like making a new Wii Fit can use the Vitality Sensor and
hey,
people will buy it.
They should make a Wii MRI machine.
Yeah.
Get your brain scanned.
I guess they can see if if people decide to randomly flatline during video games.
Yeah. That can be an achievement. Flatline for 5 seconds and then
Yeah, okay. But enough about that.
Yeah. Okay, this next one, we're not actually going to talk – well, I guess this is a video we found. It's about how Natal will ruin Halo, and it's by IGN. It's 5 ways Natal, the motion sensing peripheral, will ruin Halo. And
all
it's
we
fun.
Can say is check it out.
Yeah, because they got like elbows flying. They have teabagging.
They have a cat.
They do have a cat. It's just really funny. I'll put a link in the show notes. But this next one, we all agreed was just so hilariously funny, is that Warner Brothers officially now owns Midway.
Now my dreams will come true of Looney Tunes versus Mortal Kombat.
Yes, yeah, for those of you who don't know, Midway was the company that owned Mortal Kombat, and they went bankrupt a couple months ago. Warner Brothers was successful in buying them. And as we said before, would it not be awesome to have Looney Tunes versus Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, Animaniacs. So you have Pinky and the Sub-Zero.
You know what?
Pinky,
I find it really interesting though that Midway's last game was
it was Mortal Kombat and DC Universe.
DC Universe, and you know who owns DC Comics? Warner Brothers.
Do they really?
They do.
Wow, that's very interesting.
So it almost seems like there was actually some sort of partnership or something going on there even before Midway went bankrupt.
That's interesting. You know, I think I heard someone wants Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter. That would be pretty cool.
I think everybody on the face of the planet would buy that game.
Yeah,
that would call for a Warner Brothers / Midway team up with Capcom in order to do so.
Now, in the pre-show, talking about Looney Tunes versus Mortal Kombat, Nick had a very interesting voice he wanted to debut.
What?
Nick, you want to do the Mickey Mouse copyright infringement voice?
Okay. Let's talk about this for a second. Mickey Mouse is not a Looney Tunes character.
No,
okay?
It is not. It's Disney.
Yes.
So.
You're not going to do the voice?
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do the voice.
Okay.
That's cute.
I'll just say it now for those of you listening. I will throw the pre-show Mickey Mouse voice at the end of this episode.
Oh, golly. All right, and yeah, what else do we got?
Okay, this is an interesting one. I think we're all going to debate this. The First Amendment on video games. Now, people are wondering why the federal government doesn't prosecute video games with the same First Amendment rights that they do for literature and film. And the first thing I have to say is I thought First Amendment was freedom of speech, and I don't understand why the federal government is prosecuting literature and film for freedom of speech, but that's not the point.
Well, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. But the entire thing is that the question is, why isn't video games being prosecuted by the federal government for obscene content? And the reason that is stated here on this article is the fact that, one, a lot of there is hardly any sexual content in video games. And two, if there is sexual content, I mean, unless it's like really, really subtle, it's usually instantly rated A, which for adult by the ESRB, and you can't buy it in like physical stores. You have to go online and buy it. But I mean, what do you guys think about this? Should the federal government get involved in rating video games?
I think the problem is as long as video games are rated appropriately, I don't really think it should be that big of a deal. Because
right.
if there's something sexually explicit in a game and it suddenly gets rated like T for teen, then, I mean, I can understand some type of intervention. But the ESRB is so strict about stuff in video games anyway, that as long as it's being rated appropriately, I don't see any reason why the government needs to step in.
Yeah, no, these video games aren't harming anyone. You can't have the government step in. Just because they have explicit content, it just doesn't make any sense. But then again, you know, what in the government does make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why the federal government hasn't stepped in, is because the ESRB's ratings are so ridiculously strict. I mean, it's a little ridiculous what they rate some of these things.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I'm sure the ESRB wants to be treated like a serious rating board. You know what I mean? Just like the film rating board and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I can understand them making sure that what they're rating games is really what people think these games should be rated. And they're not just, like, bullshitting a teen rating to try to get more people to buy the games.
No, exactly. Exactly. And then along with this article, we found something hysterical. It's Scribblenauts. As hilariously explained by the ESRB. Now, for those of you who don't know, Scribblenauts is the game we've been raving about for the past couple weeks. And basically, it's a puzzle game in which, to solve the puzzle, you use the DS's touchscreen to type in a word or noun. And it comes to life in the game. It has all the same properties as it would in normal life. I can think of one great example is someone – there was a star that you need to get, and it was attached to a rope. And someone typed in – ninja star, and a ninja star appeared, and they used it to cut down the rope, which is pretty badass. But the ESRB has to take everything to the extreme, and basically what they said is that if you were to use Scribblenauts to type in two words, then both of those things appear, and they have very similar properties of each other. So they said if you type in baby and steak in the same sentence, you will basically spawn a baby holding a steak, and then steak as in the meat, and then someone typed in a lion, and the lion went over and ate the steak and the baby.
I think that's freaking hilarious. I can't wait to play this game.
I know. And it's stuff like this in which they made it everyone plus 10 plus. Like, if you have kids under the age of 12 that are thinking about creating a steak baby that's eaten by a lion, you have more problems on your hand than the video game itself.
I think this is the type of thing like saying, oh, we should rate a pen and paper too, because a little kid could like draw something horribly violent.
Yeah, it's we should all, watch out for that.
It's all up to your imagination, like what this game is rated. So like, I don't know. Hopefully little kids aren't thinking like, oh, take out, I don't know, make the lion eat the baby, make the lion puke up the baby. You know, like, I don't know.
Then make the lion eat the baby again.
Yes.
Just for good measure.
Just for good measure.
Dave, well, what's the difference between a pile of dead babies and a Chevy?
We are not going to talk about
that. I don't have a Chevy in my garage.
Exactly.
We don't need dead baby jokes.
All right. Never mind. No more dead baby jokes. I'm sorry. We just need to lighten up this episode a little bit.
I am totally going to either bleep out or just completely erase those last three jokes.
Hey, Nick.
Don't even, Dave.
What's worse than a pile of dead babies?
Oh, no. I don't like this one. I don't like
this one.
Why don't. Not? Because this is the worst one.
The best one.
This is the worst one. All right,
is violence required to make a good video game?
Obviously. Dead babies.
Oh, my God. Okay. This reports out of CNET, which is one of my favorite news sites of all time. Basically, it's an article asking, is violence required to make a good video game? And, who did they interview here? I completely forgot who they interviewed, but the guy said that violence is not needed to make a good video game. It's just that no one has actually tried to do it.
I think it's part of our culture to like violent things. Like, I mean, you have, well, look at the movies we have. We have Transformers, we have the Terminator, all that kind of stuff. People like violence.
You know, I think it's one thing to say people like violence. I think it's another to say that most of the people in the world are good, but video games give us a portal to see what happens if we are bad.
Well, I honestly think there's plenty of games out there without violence. Look at Tetris. Look at
Guitar Heroes
or Rock Band. I mean, it just all depends on the concept. I don't think violence is necessarily a bad thing to have in a video game. It's just overused a bit, maybe.
I mean, video games are used as an escape from, like, reality, you know?
No, see, that's what I was saying, is that video games give us a chance to see what it's like to be evil or bad and be violent without feeling the repercussions of it. And I think that's one of the things that made the video game Infamous a huge success, is that you're a superhero, and the only thing you can do is bad things. You can rip up streets, you can go around and shock the hell out of people. I mean, there's no other good path.
I thought that game had the two-path system.
I don't think so. I know one game that does is Fallout 3, which I got off of Steam. And it's interesting because there are certain items you can use if your karma's good or your karma's bad, or even if your karma's neutral. So it all depends on which path you want to take.
Fable 2 is like that, right?
Here's the thing. Fable 2 tries to do that, but it doesn't do it well. Like, yes, you can be bad. They have two meters. They have the good and bad meter, and they have the pure and corrupt. Basically, good and bad is your actions towards other people. And pure and corrupt is basically how much you charge for rent. And I shit you not, that's the only way to change your pure and corruptness, is to change the amount of rent you charge. But
so
basically,
most landlords would be corrupt?
Yes, most landlords would be corrupt. But basically what Fable 2 only really does is the way people act around you, so that like people will run away if you're bad, they'll praise you if you're good, but also your appearance. So if you're bad, you get horns. If you're good, you get this giant white beard and a halo and stuff like that. If you're corrupt, you get flies around you. If you're pure, you have like shiny, glowy. I don't know. But I mean, Fable 2, yes, it does have the good and bad system, but it doesn't implement it very nicely. I think Fallout 3 is definitely a better system, because there are some quests you can do that you can only do if you're evil or good, or even neutral, which is an interesting part, is that you can kill people and you can be good at the same time. It's a very interesting take. Okay, we're getting really off topic, but I mean, what games can you guys think of that don't include violence at all? I mean, Nick already named a few: music games, Tetris. I mean, I was thinking, what's it called? Brain Age. Do you guys think of any other ones? I would say Wii Sports, but that has boxing.
Yeah. I don't know. Can you consider boxing violent, though? That's a whole nother topic, right there.
Well, see, that's another thing. That's another thing, is that is blood required to be considered violence?
Because like,
it's not,
are even like weapons required to be considered violent? Is Mario jumping on Goombas considered violent?
That's what I was getting at, because if there's no if blood is required to be violent, then all Mario games are fine because there's no blood in them.
You just jump on guys. That's not violent.
But then you have games like Paper Mario and Mario RPG, in which you have you actually have physical like weapons and hammers and stuff.
I mean, then you have the football games, stuff like that, like Madden.
Yeah, that's another thing is, Madden's a football game. It looks violent to me, but there's no blood. So, I mean, it's hard to say. But I definitely think violence is not an exact requirement to make a good game. I just, like was stated in the article, people just haven't tried it.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely really hard to do that.
Interesting. All right, Cody, what else we got?
We are at our final story, which is amazing because normally we have like 5 or 10 stories and we talk about them at length, but we had about 15 small stories.
Like a skyscraper today.
Yeah, this one is interesting because I read this article last night. I downloaded the game it was associated with, and I got to say, it looks pretty cool. And the entire – it's basically – a video game that creates its own content. Now, basically, the way the game works is you're a ship in space, and you have 3 weapons you can choose from. And every time you destroy an enemy base, you can take a power-up and add it to one of those existing items, one of your existing weapons. But the way the weapons evolve is based on previous attributes that your weapons have had. So, like, if you have one weapon, like, I had one weapon that you shot it, these, like, giant orbs would go out and then stop about, I don't know, a couple inches in front of my spaceship, and they just stay there. And they created, like, a wall to block enemies. And then, like, a couple generations, they call it generations every time you upgrade a weapon, it's a generation. A couple generations down the line, I had one that, what it would do is it would shoot 3 beams out, 2 of them would stay in front of me to be a wall, and then one of them would go out and hit the enemy. It's very interesting to see how these weapons evolve. And then you have certain weapons. The way the game works is you control your ship. You move your ship with the keyboard, but you get to pick where to shoot with the cursor. And some of the weapons actually shoot away from the cursor. So, like, there was one weapon that would shoot out the back of my ship. So to aim it at the enemy spaceships, I would have to put the cursor in the opposite direction you normally would. And then based on the idea that weapons can go forwards or backwards, then you have some weapons that shoot in multiple directions. You have some weapons that will do like zigzag lines until they hit the enemy. You have some like there's floating asteroids. Some of them will completely avoid your enemy and go hit the asteroids, which is quite annoying.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's an interesting way to see how these weapons are evolving.
Yeah, I don't know. I think games creating their own content are a bit far off.
Well, here's the thing: is that
something simple like that, yes, but like there still has to be some sort of programming in order to allow the game to create its own content like that. So it's not like the game can just do whatever the hell it wants. Like it needs whatever, it always has to meet whatever boundaries are set by the programmer.
Yeah, there's obviously boundaries. But here's the thing is that the way they're doing it is they're using mathematical equations using it's called procedural programming, in which instead of what most programmers do is they program for every single occurrence possible. And instead of doing that, they use mathematical equations to predict what will happen when something – basically, they use mathematical equations to predict all possibilities of – I guess you call it customization. And it's the same way Spore works. And it's one of the reasons why Spore was so customizable is the fact that they used mathematical equations instead of set boundaries to create the animals. And that's the reason why there's so many different animals.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we just hit a dead stop.
I think that's about it for today.
Yeah, jeez. I think
it sure is boring around here.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks. I think that's going to be it for today. You want to go to our blog, thebrpodcast.blogspot.com. You want to go to the blog that me and Dave run. It's college-gamers.blogspot.com. You can also find a link to that on our podcast blog. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheBeast33. And you guys have anything you want to plug?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I have a blog, but I only made one post, so.
Okay. I think that's going to be it. Tell your friends about the show if they like video games, and we'll see you later.
See you later.
Later.
Okay, Nick, I typed up the intro for you to say.
This douchebag doesn't work, right?
That's what she said.
It is.
Welcome to the Barrel Rollers podcast for the week, a 50th week of ordinary time.
No, you can't say
16, everyone get on the steamboat.
You can't say for the week of the 15th week of ordinary time.
Why? Mickey Mouse can do anything.
I was going to say you said.
This is going to be fun.
When did we get Mickey Mouse to do the podcast?
Mickey Mouse is a guest star on the podcast.
Yeah, we should say that.
Dude.
Nick isn't here today. We have Mickey Mouse and Dave.
Can we do the podcast? That would be so much fun.
I haven't eaten lunch yet.
I haven't eaten your mom yet.
Dude, I would hope not.
Out of line. Out of line.
Out of line.
Nico Rock.
Nick, I will pay you $20 if you do the entire episode in your Mickey Mouse voice.
20.
$20? Oh, that's a lot of money. That'll help Steamboat Willie run for lots and lots of miles. I like the color yellow. What's your favorite color?
See, we can call it Steamboat Willie.
That's blatant copyright infringement.
Yeah.